Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Welcome to The Bigger Picture. Well, Singapore, like other countries around the world, is facing wide-ranging ESG challenges. So ESG for environmental, social and corporate governance. Now, Singapore is seeking to address these issues through a comprehensive green plan, and that is set to reposition the country as a regional sustainability hub. So this will open opportunities from businesses seeking to invest or reform to become greener and also attract more capital flow from global investment firms. So what are some of the stocks that investors can look out for to leverage this trend? To get a bigger picture, we've got Maybank Kim Eng's Head of Research for Singapore, Thilan Wickremesinghe. Morning, Thilan. How are you doing today?
Morning, Ryan. Great to be back on the show.
Yeah, we are pleased to have you because this is a topic that's right up your alley. You've done quite a bit of work on this. Walk us through a bit of the overview of some of the most pressing changes that businesses will have to cope with in their corporate strategies as they cope with the latest ESG trends.
Yes, I mean, I think the green plan is a great place to start. It has three main objectives: reducing waste, carbon sequestering, and building defenses against climate change. That's number one. Resetting the energy mix in Singapore and reducing emissions. That's number two. And then finally, building a sustainable economy. Now, across all these objectives, companies will need to take a long, hard look at their own strategy and determine whether they are actually in alignment. For example, they will need to look at their waste disposal and emissions. They will need to quantify those across the value chain and come up with solutions for mitigation. And even more importantly, they will need to look at how their products and services need to change and how business continuity will look like in a warmer planet. Carbon taxes, that's going to play a bigger role in margins as well. They will need to also revision funding. Now, banks are increasingly lending to sustainable opportunities. So companies will have to be ready for that and also be subject to more rigorous audit as well as rating requirements. So just to bring things together, for companies, I think the biggest changes will be the capacity building to deliver products and services that are aligned to the green plan in the medium term, but also to become carbon neutral in the longer term. They'll also need to develop better disclosure and transparency protocols. And also, they'll need to manage the interest of multiple stakeholders, not just their shareholders. They will need to manage the interest of society, the banks, the government in a very equitable way. So quite a lot of changes.
Yeah, Thilan, you mentioned capacity building, going for carbon neutral, and the green plan is 2030. So these seem to be rather far away when it comes to what to plan for. Has COVID-19 pushed back this as a priority and maybe even timelines, as you know, you see companies struggling to get by with the near-term business pressures?
I don't think so. Since the start of 2020, nearly a third of SDI component stocks have already announced a sustainability strategy on a standalone basis or as part of their restructuring efforts. So clearly, COVID hasn't slowed this down. It actually may have accelerated it. The pandemic, I think, has made it clear to all of us that we need to live within planetary boundaries. And I don't think for companies, they can put off sustainability just to deal with short-term pressures. A recent survey showed that nearly 76% of institutional investors expect inflows to sustainable investments to accelerate. Now, when you take a step back, when a company says they are they have a sustainability strategy, it just means that they've developed a business path that takes into account present as well as future risks. So this alone makes these companies a lot less riskier than a company that hasn't gone through this process.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so I'm just wondering, when you talk about, you know, all these changes, there have been so many ways to measure these changes, different benchmarks and standards. How does someone navigate all these new ideas and metrics?
Yeah, so I think that's one of the biggest issues we have. I think the first thing is for investors to actually differentiate between those who say that they're doing ESG and those that are actually doing the ESG. And I think, you know, there's a big differential there. I mean, a very simple example is if you take Morningstar, they say that assets under management for ESG is about $2 trillion globally. And they have very strict criteria to basically look at companies that have measurable ESG objectives. And there are other numbers that are out there that say assets under management is $30 trillion. a massive difference. And largely this is because, you know, that's just taking into account companies that just say that they have a ESG plan somewhere in their annual report. So I think, for investors, it's important for them to understand the taxonomy for sustainable activities that is in line with their mandate, whether it's a European Green Deal or anything else. They will need to understand how company reporting and transparency is aligned to global standards such as TCFD. I think that's one of the biggest areas of confusion. There are multiple reporting standards, so comparing apples to apples is harder. Mm. But we are starting to see regulators pushing towards more comparable reporting standards, and you can see that with MAS and SGX trying to do so in Singapore as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you've come up with a bit of a list of what investors could be paying more attention to in terms of stock picks. Let me run through some of those names. You've got from the REIT space, Ascendas REIT, Mapletree Commercial Trust, Mapletree Logistics Trust. From the banks, you've got DBS and OCBC. From the technology space, AEM Holdings, Venture Corp as well, and ComfortDelGro from Transport, and ThaiBev from Consumer Staples. What are some of the traits that these picks have? Why did you pick them?
Yeah, so if you look at all of them, I think the overarching criteria for us is what are the stocks that can attract incremental ESG inflow? And I think there are three sort of main requirements for that. The first is improving risk rating momentum. And this is where a lot of independent ESG agencies, rating agencies, and so on come in. And I think more importantly, are these companies geared towards major ESG investment themes such as renewable energy or climate change adoption or mitigation, pollution control, and so on? And then finally, are these companies participating in or facilitating the transition towards lower emissions, such as providing capital, that's what the banks do, or alternative energy capacity and so on? So we look at it from those three holistic criteria.
All right, we've been chatting with Kim Eng's Head of Research for Singapore, Thilan Wickremesinghe, helping us to give his take on what might be some of the stock picks in the ESG space to watch out for. Thilan, thank you so much for your time again.
Thanks for having me on.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.